Hello, kapla, and welcome everyone to our fan cast. We're a Star Wars boy, a Star Trek girl, and a sci-fi wingnut talk about the new Star Trek series, Strange New Worlds. We are super excited to geek out, talk about the new show, so let's bring in the intro music and get going. What is up, y'all? It is the final episode of Season 2, Episode 10 of Strange New Worlds. This is probably the last Star Trek Strange New Worlds we're going to get in a while.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think this may be one of the longest to-be-continueds that has ever existed.
Freaking writer strike.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a writer strike, an actor strike, and Hegemony is going to be the last episode in maybe a year, maybe two. Maybe three. You don't know.
Look, I can't deal with that long of not knowing whether they kill my girl or not. So don't.
The thing is that at least we know that it's coming because they have in fact ordered season three and were scheduled to be recording or filming at this point if the strike hadn't happened.
Right. It would be having it being done right now. They'd be doing it.
But because of the way that the strike is happening and quite honestly, Hollywood is folding in on itself and people are crazy and they don't know what to do as far as the Hollywood as a general rule right now, they are dealing with a lot of stuff. And I don't think you're going to get any of those questions answered right now. I don't see a path forward. Like Disney, like there's four or five big players, right? Disney's nuking itself now.
Because Disney's Disney.
Well, yeah, they've made some bad business decisions. We'll just put it that way.
Stupid things.
And they've done some not intelligent things. So
except getting rid of Kennedy. But I digress.
Well, they haven't really gotten rid of her. They've just locked her out of some Disney productions. But
that was enough.
Some Star Wars productions. That's really what they've
Mandalorian.
Done. They've locked her out of that for
sure. That's all that needed to happen.
So they're not letting her start any new ones. So there's Disney, Paramount's another one. You've got a bunch of players, right? Paramount has lost their shirt on Paramount Plus. So
what do you mean?
Well, the only
thing that's actually successful for them on Paramount Plus is, in fact, Star Trek.
This is their moneymaker and the reason people come to watch Paramount Plus. Now, Strange New World, and had they left it at Discovery, they'd have been screwed. But Strange New Worlds has been the most successful starting Star Trek franchise in history.
Ever. Yep.
Now, Lower Decks did very well as well, but nothing, and I do mean nothing, not TNG, not TOS, not Voyager, not any of them, have started off in the first two seasons with the following that Strange New Worlds has.
Yep.
So,
but you have to admit that this has started stronger than any of those.
Oh, for sure. Like first season of TNG is honestly painful.
No, I would say the first three seasons of TNG.
I mean, it really Riker before the beard is not a happy time.
I mean, who knew that we would be able to look at Q and go, "Yep, I want to come back and watch this again at Fairport Station."
Nobody likes.
I love TNG. I will always be a TNG girl, but it was painful.
We do not discuss the encounter at Fairport.
let me tell you, that was the best.
We are going to lock that in a box. And we are going to take that box and throw it in the ocean.
That was the best cosplay I have ever seen at any con I've ever gone to. There was a guy dressed as Q, had the red robes and the black hat, and then he was like up on stilts, walking around. It looked like he's floating, and it was amazing. It was amazing. I had to stop and get my picture with him.
John DeLancey is a national treasure, whether anybody knows it or not. He is... A tremendously generous and giving man. Anything, any project he's involved in, he goes all just full bore. Right.
You know what's funny with him as Q and as Discord because our girls have watched.
Yeah, our girls know him, but they know him as Discord from My Little Pony.
When I look at Discord and I see the little
Oh no, they totally made it Q.
When I see
he's
the
got
little,
Q powers.
When I see the little beard,
out.
You know, his Q powers. I'm like, as an adult, we're like, oh yeah, it's awesome because you know they made you know we get
hey,
it.
Hey, the Q continuum is a multidimensional entity.
How do you know therefore, he's not Q? Yeah,
I was gonna say that he's just referred to as Discord in that world.
I'm just
that
saying,
is Q.
And in My Little Pony world, it's pretty awesome. But now, because I know the difference, like when I look at him as Q with clean shaven, I can't. I'm still looking for the little beard that he has from Discord.
Like I said.
They gave him the beard recently.
Yes, in the last season.
Yeah, John Delancey is a national treasure. And I do not discount Encounter at Farpoint Station simply because Q is in it.
He had
However,
a beard when I met him last October.
It was a terrible episode. And in fact, the entire first season of TNG, the entire first season of Voyager, like anybody, like DS9, like whoever's first season you want to go to, it kind of sucked.
Okay, you know what?
Well, DS9 doesn't really start working until they shave Sisko's head and he gets the beard. TNG doesn't start working until you get collars on the uniforms. Voyager doesn't start working until you get rid of Kes and add 7 and 9. Each one of these shows has a point in which it started functioning, and this is the only one that just started from right out the gate.
SNW, but I will say this. Strange New Worlds really started before the first episode.
All the hype.
Yeah, because you got Pike in Discovery, you got to meet him. You got to meet Una. You got to see Spock and really understand that dynamic worked before they started the first episode.
You're going to think it's weird that I say this. You're going to think it's weird that I say this, but I think the first two seasons of Discovery were excellent.
I'd say season two of Discovery is some of
the
best
Red
Star
Angel,
Trek you've ever had.
The Red Angel was an amazing storyline.
Was a fantastic storyline.
But...
yeah.
So I think those reversed because, like, even as much as I love TNG,
Red Angel was partially that good because Pike was in it.
Because Pike was there.
Well, and actually, that's what I was going to say. I think you got to give some of that credit to Anson Mount and, for the life of me, I cannot remember the guy. Oh, Ethan Peck. Because they showed up and were those characters, and you bought into it immediately. Like, for example, if they had tried to do a remake of the TOS with this guy who's playing Kirk, you saw, I could not buy into him.
Oh, it would have failed.
Ever. But Pike showed up, it was kind of like, okay, no, I buy into this guy being who he is. Ethan Peck showed up, and you're like, okay, I can see him as a young Spock. This fit. It's the first time that they've really done that. And I will give Disco at least a little bit of credit that I enjoyed the fact that you went into the future and found out that Starfleet was had just gone down the tubes. I think if they didn't, where it had problems is the fact that whoever Paramount's Kathleen Kennedy is was apparently running.
Whoever their idiot was.
Yeah, Darth Kennedy has done nothing for the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, so whether they, you know, they have like Darth Trek somewhere along the line in the corner somewhere, you know, their DEI person basically went, let's change this, and you suddenly went, my God, we're 3,000 years into the future, can we not get past some of this shit?
Yeah, and the answer was no, apparently not. But with Strange New Worlds, you get this wonderful balance. And when you look at Strange New World as a season one and season two block, right? If you just look at season one, which was epic, and then you compare it to season two, some of the best Trek I've ever seen happened in season two.
You also have to give credit to Anson Mount's hair.
You know what? I'm going to disagree. Well, not on the hair. The hair is amazing. I think the first season was epic. There's a handful, like a small pocket of episodes that I really, really liked this season. All of my love is for the first season of
Strange New World. I disagree with that.
I know.
They had four episodes this one. The four episode run: Charades, Lost in Translation, Those Old Scientists,
Tomorrow, yeah,
and Under the Cloak of War were as good as Trek gets. Now, I personally like Tomorrow, Tomorrow, and Tomorrow because it was everything that I was looking for. And you know I love time travel. I'm a time travel junkie. So that stuff really worked for me. But five episodes out of the 10 we got this time were outstanding.
So far,
to
my
me.
Favorite episodes have been dealing with M'Banga and Nurse Chapel.
I've said this before, and I will say it again on this what might be the last one for a long time about Strange New Worlds. I was very reluctant to like M'Banga's character when we saw him in first season, when he was always like worried about his daughter and like that's he was very one dimensional. They have really punched him out this season.
Well, you know what? Whatever happened to his daughter? Is she still?
Oh, in... she's
left with the aliens.
Oh, that's right. They went to Kira, right?
Yeah,
she's now basically almost a Q.
Yeah, I mean she basically got
forever
quote unquote,
a 13
fixed,
year old. Yeah.
You know, well, no, she can be whatever she wants now. Yeah. I mean, she basically got Wesley. She got Wesley'd.
But
she's with the travelers Wesley'd. Basically. Well, that's kind of how they wrote Wesley off. Like Wesley got to live a life beyond time and space, and that's kind of what she got too. Like she can do whatever she wants now. She got as Jackie said, she got cued. Once you got rid of the one-dimensionalness of his character, I just really thought he did a great job. Like they fleshed him out. He's a reluctant, like he is a badass, but he doesn't want to do that anymore. He doesn't want to be that guy because it hurts his soul to kill people and to be that dude. I love that.
I would guess that somewhere along the line in the writer's room, somebody looked at everybody else and went, okay, we just killed off Hammer. We can't have another character that just kind of sits there. You got to do something with this guy.
Well, and Hammer became very cool when you really found that him and Uhura had the, like Hammer's the reason Uhura loosened up, right?
He's the reason she stayed in Starfleet.
Right, because he's like, look, you know, you're looking for your purpose. I think you're looking too hard. Why don't you look inside yourself and find out what you want to do? Is this who you want to be? Okay, well then be that. And that's okay. That's going to be enough. That's kind of like with that fatherly role. Like everyone has or a lot of people have a mentor, right? Like I've been very lucky that in my career I've had several. One of them who I love to death. In fact, I still had up until a couple of years ago when we split our home office, I had a plaque. That he gave me. It said Bob Miller adopted me. Now, what it was supposed to be in our office was on a plant that you go by and you water it every, you know, every day or whatever it is. But I put it on my cubicle because he did. He adopted me and he taught me how to survive in a corporate environment and how honestly to keep my mouth shut, which, as anyone who knows me, is a problem. So everybody has those mentors where you're like, that person taught me how to do things and taught me how to be the type of person that I am at work. And for her, for Uhura, it was Hammer. Hammer was his last gift to her. His last act was even showing her how to be who she wanted to be. So that was a fantastic character, and I love that he burned bright and then gone. Right, and she still misses him. And M'Banga, you think he's one dimensional. You think he's just like the doctor who's against violence and he doesn't understand why all these people need weapons and why can't we all just not? And that's not who he is at all.
Well, making him a pacifist was one thing. Making him a pacifist who is capable of great violence is a completely different dimension altogether.
Well, not only capable, but has done past violence. He was the butcher of Bengal or butcher of
the Klingon War?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
at one point he had like the most hand to hand kills on record.
Which
on
was
record.
A great discovery when he killed the Klingon. The guy, the Klingon, was telling everyone he was the butcher when really It was in Benga.
It was in Benga. You know, you should be terrified in his presence, and you're not, right? Because he will kill you.
Now he's so quiet and passive, and you would never think of that of him, but, you know.
I love the thing between him and Chapel, where they do trust each other because they have been through it.
So I love the fact that that Erica is so tore up about Christina at the moment, too. Come on. You finally get Erica on an away mission.
Oh, she does great.
She's great. You're finally on an away mission, and she gets freaking transported to the Gorn ship. What the hell?
I recognized that the transporters were different. I'm like, oh, that was the wrong color.
So did La'an the moment it did it.
Yeah.
So you could see her looking at the moment it transported. You could see
like,
the green.
Crap.
I know what this is. So
now I do have a complaint though. Well, okay, I have a this was awesome and then a complaint. This was awesome.
I
loved when they were flying the shuttle down and everybody is gripping their chairs and looking scared and Erica is having the time of her life.
This is great. Yeah.
Everybody's leaning back. She's leaning into it. Even the body posture was perfect.
You got a backseat driving now?
Yeah. I like how the camaraderie between each other. She's not afraid to talk to the captain, right? Sometimes when you have people command, you're afraid to speak your mind because they're so far ahead of you. I mean, she's a lieutenant, he's a captain. But
I think it's more of a comment on Pike than her, though.
True, very true. Because he's so easygoing and trusts his people that they make it, he makes it easy for them to come to him.
Actually, I think that the other thing you're seeing is because you've seen how he trusts his people as much as he does in these given situations, I think they also showed you the fact that he even bothered to question her shows you how scared he was in that moment. That she was that it was kind of like
But then he compliments her and tells her she's made for this.
Well, yeah, oh, she's like, weren't you a test pilot?
Suck it up, Buttercup. Right.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And you could tell he's like gripping, like not like this, no.
But my complaint is, I think they got backwards who should have been where.
You don't think they should have taken La'an down to the Gorn planet?
Oh no! I mean with Christine.
Oh.
And Captain Hot Pants, whatever her name is.
Captain Hot Pants.
Who are you talking about?
your favorite captain.
Oh, my captain.
She should have been the one stuck on the ship. Because you know when Spock is going over there that there's not going to be anything bad that happens to the two of them. There's no tension there for the Watcher because everything's going to be okay between Spock and Christine getting out of there alive.
Well, there would be any tension between her and Captain Hot Pants, which I'm going to use that for
No. But that being said, you spent the entire episode wondering whether or not Captain Hot Pants was going to die. So they did give you that, but if she's on the ship, where as the captain, that's where she belonged in the first place, but at the same time, that actually gives Spock somebody to rescue that you're wondering whether or not he's going to succeed.
Look, all I can say, my complaint, as I'm watching this by myself on the couch, he's in the opposite room.
I know what it's going to happen to, because I told her when I came out of we watched it separately, and because I watched it during the day, because I worked from home that day, and I'm like, she's going to hate that. And I told her when I watched it, I was like, you're going to hate this. She goes, did they kill my girl? And I'm like, no. I said, but I can tell you the exact spot when you're going to hate it.
And so
she started watching
it. So I'm watching it, right? I'm watching it, and the moment that the little Gorn alien thing, it reminds me of a moment from Alien, the movie. The moment it gets nose-to-nose with her and then leaves her alone and backs away, I'm like, son of a bitch. I knew it. I freaking knew it.
I heard her screaming, I knew it. They're going to kill her. Right? Because I told her.
No, not just kill her. Not just kill her.
Jake
no.
was right.
No, they can't just kill her. They got to impregnate her with little
because
lizards.
Jake was like, wouldn't it be funny? And you guys can rewind.
Damn it, Jake.
You guys can go back a couple episodes ago when we were talking about this. Jake called that, by the way.
He called it funny
if they penetrated her and stuck Gorn eggs in her? And Shannon's like, you guys are gross and I hate this and they're not going to do that. Not two episodes
I
later.
I didn't say they weren't going to do that. You could go back and read that. And I knew that. Like, look.
You guys are gross. Stop doing that.
Two things about my girl. One, it was amazing to see her in her leather jacket walking around this little old town like purgatory.
Yeah, I have something to say about that, but yeah.
She just needed a gun. She needed peacemakers. Maybe she could have...
And they penetrated her.
Damn it. You have to keep saying that word.
They did. They laid eggs in her.
Shut up.
Hey, at least they laid them in her arm. You know, she didn't get gross or anything.
She's a brood mother now. Oh, it's great.
I still have my boots on. I do think that they're actually going to save her. I think they're going to save her because if they weren't going to, there was no reason to get her even off the planet.
What?
Story-wise, there's no reason for her
we
to come off the planet
like
and get put into stasis. Storyline-wise, there's no reason to bother putting her into stasis if you're not planning
on
safe.
No. I don't think so. I think you put her in stasis so that you don't... Because the gestation is like a week, isn't it?
Oh, no,
and
no,
she's
no,
already been down for a day.
Yeah, but my point is that writers-wise, story-wise...
Oh, no, I think that's the cliffhanger. That's the part you're worried about, right? Is Pike gonna be able to save her, and
that's
is it going
to stop?
The only
part I'm worried about.
And is it going to stop him? Like, if she dies, he's going to kill them all.
Good.
I think so.
It's
like
going to start a war. It's going to start a war.
Okay, so here's my thing.
No, the question you're left with, the cliffhanger you're left with, is less her than how can Pike get his people back, which you know he's going to do. No matter what Starfleet orders him to do.
Unless
how does he get
Gorn
his people back without starting the war? Because, A, we know there was no Gorn War.
Okay, so here's a question.
Or
what
it was short.
What if negotiating, the Gorn says, we'll give you your people back, but give us her because we want the babies?
That actually, I will admit, that would actually be a good episode. Now,
that's a cliffhanger.
I'm
going to
disagree with you because you kicked me.
Well, I don't buy it. It doesn't fit and it doesn't work story wise for one reason. The Gorn have shown specifically disdain for their own young.
That's true. They eat their own. They don't care.
Yes.
Good. She's not gonna die that way. Okay. I don't think Chris would have given her up.
No. But I think that would have been an excellent storyline because it would have been how do we save everyone. When you know you can't, it would have been his Kobayashi Maru.
Nice, you just slipped that in there. I got it.
Just like that, Gorn slipped it into.
You're about to get kicked again, and I'm not even gonna. I still got my steel-toe boots, and I won't even feel bad about it.
Hey, you know this could go complete another way. They could save her, and then she leaves Pike because she now has a thing for lizards.
Jake.
They look so sexy.
I like you a lot, but you better stop.
I'm gonna stay with the Gorn. They're just so sexy.
Okay, hey, maybe she likes female lizards. I mean, we can go with that if you want. I mean,
just saying. Scaly stuff, it's sexy.
I guess
I'm not opposed to it.
No, it's even better. She starts going for female Orions because she gets this whole thing for green.
That would be hot.
You have to admit.
Then you have the regular. Then you have the pinup girls from TOS. They're all like green paint.
Exactly. You have to admit.
I'm on your level here.
She starts batting for the other team.
Captain Hot Pants with an Orion slave girl. You can't tell me you wouldn't watch that episode.
I'm here for it. Hands down, I'm here for it. Just don't kill her.
Played by Kat Burrell.
Ooh.
But that won't happen.
I'm having a whole other image now. Wrong podcast.
they just paint Kat Burrell green.
Wow, okay. I lost my train of thought. Where were we? Can we have a little slave caller too? Because you know.
So am I still in the doghouse?
No, keep going. Cat Burrell with the red hair and the green paint, kind of like a what was the character's name from Star Trek with Chris Pine? Chris Pine.
Oh, Chris Pine and
Kaylee. No, mm-hmm. Kaylee? Callie? Something of that
something
nature?
Something like that.
I know which one you mean. The one that he was hiding under the bed with.
Yeah, who's the mouth breather under the bed?
The woman from Continuum. That's what she played on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't remember her actual name.
I have whole new images now.
I'm sure you could get AI to draw you up a Green Orion Cat Burrell.
Get AI?
Yeah. AI do it for you in like a couple seconds.
Sean will help you with that after the podcast.
I don't know what that means.
You kick me. I'm sensitive. I feel attacked.
You should. You need to be attacked sometimes.
But yes, the question for next season is less of whether or not Captain Hot Pants survives than whether or not he can get his people back without starting a war. Because, my other only problem with all of this is we are learning far too much about the Gorn when the Gorn were a complete mystery in TOS.
Well, they got to give us some kind of story behind it.
Though I will say that these Gorn are much awesomer than a guy in a big rubber suit.
Look like a bad Godzilla, yeah.
No, it looked like a terrible Godzilla. I mean, really bad. That and he was wearing a Tarzan caveman outfit.
How did that ever make ratings back then? That's crazy.
Not only that, but we've seen that the Gorn are like very athletic and energetic. The whole thing, because the guy couldn't move in the suit, they came up with the idea that the Gorn had stiff joints.
That I'm impressed with this last episode. We see the Gorn in the spacesuit, right? It looked way better than when we first saw the Gorn last season.
And the fact that somewhere along the lines, the Gorn figured out that that tail, if you put it into a mech blade suit, suddenly becomes a weapon.
It is pretty cool. It is pretty cool. Like, mature Gorn are just terrifying. It gave me kind of Pitch Black vibes, even though, I know everybody could say, but it was very Pitch Blacky.
Well, I had the whole Firefly vibes when you were watching the part where they're...
Oh, of course, everybody did, yeah.
Somebody tried to tell me, oh, that's not what the Reavers did. Like, that's exactly what the
Reavers
did. No,
that's exactly what the Reavers did.
That's exactly what they did. They put all the junk on it and painted it bad and made it so they could pretend like it was
junk.
And then
they adjusted their engine so it would leak radiation and then just float it along.
So there's your question. Who would win this battle, the Reavers or the Gorn? I think the Reavers would win. They just eat the Gorn.
Oh, the Reavers.
Well, the Gorn would just eat the Reavers.
Yeah.
Think the Reavers are scarier.
Just because the problem with Reavers is they are completely and totally hyper aggressive
and animalistic,
and they do not care about their losses. Now the Gorn do have a code, and they don't care. They won't show weakness.
They'll kill their own
and they eat their own, but so will Reavers.
We've seen them.
Yeah, and I think the Reavers are just more aggressive, plus the Reavers can infect you, and the Reavers would just infect enough Gorn that they would be a problem.
I think the Reavers would win. I'm just saying.
It's sort of like zombies always win. Like, if you look at the zombie movies, the zombies always win. Like, there's never a time where they just take it and then all the zombies are like, oh, good, we've killed all the zombies. It's net that once you have zombies, the zombies always win. So it's just a matter of how long can you survive. That's the same thing with Reavers. They're just fast zombies, quote unquote, fast zombies, right? They don't lurch around like Michael Jackson zombies. They're quick zombies. So,
yes. But Michael Jackson zombies can dance.
Yeah. And look better at it. But I still think the Reavers will win.
Wait a minute. Can you imagine an episode of Firefly where all of a sudden the Reavers lined up and started to dance?
And Mel's still shooting one by one?
Subspace Rhapsody with Reavers?
Shoot them. Yep.
Reaver Rhapsody? Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Should be on a t-shirt. That should be on a t-shirt.
But
and the other part about all of this is that when I didn't skip the previously on or recap, so I got a chance to see Klingon boy band again.
Nope.
I
haven't gone back to it since.
So did not like that episode. I really tried. I really did try. I do like musicals. I apparently just don't like my musicals in Trek.
I love Mary Poppins, but I don't want to watch Star Trek.
I respect the hell out of everybody that they were such professional actors that they did the job, right? They did their job. And it's surprising how well some of them can sing. However,
please don't do it again.
I don't need another one of those.
I got so much hate on Twitter because apparently there's a lot of people out there that are still confused. And I had to tell this one person, I'm like, you do realize that this is a fan page,
we're just
page,
a
right?
fan cast. Yeah.
Somebody was like going off and off and off, talking about, I can't believe you do it. You're just ruining Trek, and you know I would never watch again, and you need to fix this. I'm like, if I had the powers to be, I would do so, because I didn't it either. But you do realize that no one gives a crap about what I think. I'm just a fan cast. So we are not affiliated, because if we were...
Oh, wow. People actually think we have that much power?
I know!
That's awesome!
Believe me, if I had power, we'd be changing some stuff, okay? We wouldn't have had my girl getting infected by lizards. I'm just saying.
Penetrated by lizards.
With that said, if you had the power, Star Trek would be lesbian porn. But that's neither here nor there. We do actually have things that we would have done differently, including not having a musical episode. But that being said, as we've said, we have no power here.
We have none. Because I would definitely change. Jake, I like the way you think. Just saying. Just saying.
Well, if nothing else, it was somewhere along the line, the story would be changed. There would be a retcon where every character gets an Orion slave girl just as his or her like personal companion or something.
Can we all make him as Kat Burrell? She was in Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, yeah. No, for a very small bit part.
Yeah, but...
Oh, you know what? I just realized something that is extremely disappointing. And Sean's going to agree with me on this one.
Yes?
We didn't get the Pirate Queen back.
I know. I thought about that about 5 minutes ago. Captain Angel did not make an appearance in season 2. And she was promised.
That's disappointing.
It is disappointing. I liked her. Like, a lot. She was cool. And
okay, power or not, I demand her for a season 3.
When was she promised?
Well, the writers said, like, when everybody was flipping out about it on Twitter, the writers said, this won't be the last time you see Captain Angel.
Maybe they played on season 3.
I demand season 3.
Yeah,
Well, then you can't say that she hasn't been back because,
she hasn't been back.
Well, there are other things important to talk about.
Yeah, like a Subspace Rhapsody musical episode.
I'm not ever going to
They could have replaced that with a Captain Angel, and I think everybody would have been happier.
I'd agree.
Everybody would have been happier. Even though you weren't a huge Captain Angel fan, you would have preferred it to that.
Yes.
Would you not?
I'm never going to agree with the musical Star Trek. It's never going to happen.
You actually had an episode where you could have had Captain Angel, too. You had an episode with pirates that would have worked. And it even would have been an awesome thing because she could have been in the TOS episode, those old scientists.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
You had pirates.
You did have pirates.
The Orion pirates?
Now, it would have kind of been crowbarred in there, but it still would have worked.
You could have also done it among the Lotus Eaters.
True.
You could have had her there. I mean, you could have had her in a couple of episodes.
They could have done anything better than the musical.
Or you could have just completely replaced Subspace Rhapsody.
Yeah. Look.
They did a great job.
Just like I said before a long time ago, you can't... When they put musical in Xena, it was horrible. Okay, I watched it because...
I liked that episode.
I watched it because I'm a fan, all right? There's things right now that Kat Burrell does, things that I'll... Like on the Hallmark Channel, I'll watch it. I think it's like B quality, but I'll watch it because it's her. Some of it's a little bit more on mute than others, but I watch it because it's her. And I watch this because it's Star Trek. But please don't do it again. Please don't.
Okay. On more positive note, can we talk about Scotty?
Awesome.
It's
coming together.
As soon as he popped out and he had a Scottish accent, I went, Scotty.
Oh, of course. You had to know who that was the moment he popped out. Let's also throw in him with the current engineer who was the teacher. Have you noticed that all of her favorite students and all of her best students have failed her class?
And still yet gone on to do other great things.
Scotty didn't fail, did he?
She said you were my best student, and he's like, yeah, I still failed.
Oh,
yeah, and Una failed, but they still went on.
Well, so because basically what she's saying is her best students are the ones that didn't do things just the quote unquote two protocol way and found other ways of doing things, which is what Scotty does.
They think outside the box.
Yeah, that's all Scotty does. Like, Scotty bends the laws of physics every time you see
him. So we now have four.
Yeah, he jerry-rigged a shuttle to escape the Gorn and get, you know, obviously his device that hides them from the Gorn is obviously going to come into big play next season.
Which, if you've noticed, he's the only one that you've seen that wasn't scared of the Gorn coming in, because he thought that that's who came in that was now trapped in his
ship. Yeah, and he's like, you're not Gorn.
I was sitting here behind this wall just patiently waiting for them when everyone else is terrified out of their mind.
Oh, yeah, he'd set a Gorn trap.
Brilliant. But we now have four of the main TOS characters.
I still think the only other one that we really, you know, unless you don't get Sulu, you're not going to get Sulu.
Well, but you're going
to
get.
And Chekhov was too young, because Chekhov was kind of almost to the point of being where.
Chekhov's in grade school right now.
Yeah.
Or you know, middle school.
But you still have the capability of getting McCoy. And I still think McCoy as an assistant to M'Benga is actually good story.
You think what?
McCoy as an assistant to M'Benga instead of Chapel?
No. Keep Chapel. But have McCoy being like M'Benga's intern, because just the personality conflicts between the two of them will be amazing.
it'll make the sick bay a lot more interesting.
I can tell you, so far, out of all that we have, I think the guy that plays Scotty, he did an amazing job. I like all of them except Kirk. I don't like the guy that plays Kirk.
I agree with you. I don't like the actor that they chose to play it, but I think he's finally starting to at least get the role.
Now, he's not as horrible as Hayden Christian. Or Christian, what's his name?
Hayden Christensen?
Oh, my goodness. He was a horrible Anakin. Horrible,
oh, okay. I was like, he played Kirk?
I'm just saying, if you're going
to... I was confused as well. I'm like, what?
I know I jumped stars, but I'm saying, he was a horrible Anakin, ruined everything for me. This guy doesn't ruin Kirk for me yet.
I don't blame that on Hayden Christensen. Quite frankly, that was poorly written.
It was so poorly written, but...
It was poorly written, and that being said, but even though the dialogue, because George Lucas cannot write dialogue to save his life, even though the dialogue was awful, I mean, really, you don't think that the... guy who, you know, the greatest evil in the universe is not going to be a whiny little bitch as a teenager?
And he was such that. Oh, my God.
He's going to be an emo kid. I mean, you...
And then his son became the whiny little bitch.
And then he just graduated
Skywalker
to full-on goth. I mean, like, it kind of tracks that way.
How is it that he didn't even stay? He was even a present father. He wasn't even in the household. And his son became the same little whiny little...
it's obviously whiny runs strong in that family.
the whiny force is strong, and I can't stand either one of them. But anyways, back to track.
You know, but see, the thing is that even if you when you follow through to all of the horrible episodes that we've had of Star Wars, you know, Luke stays a whiny person until his old age. I mean, even Yoda has to come back from the dead to tell him to quit whining.
Shut up. Yes. Put me on your back now, pick me up, and let's go.
Look,
but his sister's not that way, so it must be.
No, his sister was the badass of the family, but that's. Yeah.
But even then, once we got from TV shows, finding out that she was the badass from being a little kid.
Yeah, I mean, look, all I'm saying, and we can go back to it here in just a second, but all I'm saying is if Ewan McGregor, Natalie Portman, Samuel L. Jackson cannot save a movie,
it ain't worth saving.
It ain't savable, okay? It's not. It's not savable. Okay,
And Liam Neeson.
And Liam Neeson. Yeah. Put all those people together and they still can't save the movie. It's not the actor's fault.
No.
If Liam Neeson can't say your dialogue and look genuine.
And Hayden Christensen, I've seen him in other stuff, and he's actually a good actor. So I'm not, like, you can't blame Hayden Christensen for Anakin.
This guy, I can't remember his real name, the place Kirk. But he played the Vampire Diaries, and he wasn't so bad there. I just don't like him as this character. So as a person, as an actor, not so bad.
I think he's starting to get it. I also think that it's a little bit not fair because he can't. There's certain things he has to do, and there's certain things he can't do.
Who's going to be the chat,
be,
right?
Yeah, well, he can't be Captain Kirk. He can't have that I'm going to do this because, yeah, he cannot do the Shat yet because he's not that guy. He doesn't have the 10 years that are going to build him into that dude under his belt yet.
He's not the arrogant.
You see, yeah, you see the ambition. You see the cocksureness. You see the spark of he doesn't do anything according to the book because the book is more like guidelines instead of rules to Shatner or to Kirk later on. Here he at least has to play a little bit by the rules. Well, as soon as he gets a captain's chair, rules are out the window. He does I'm a captain. I do what I want. He ain't that guy yet, and I think they have to kind of thread that needle, and they're doing a good job of it. I do agree that every time I look at him, I go, that's not Kirk. Yeah. I'm trying to get over that, but I have trouble with it a little bit. Although I will tell you that every time I see Sam, I was telling Shannon this earlier, every time I see Sam, I just think of Guy from Galaxy Quest. Oh, is there air? You don't know. Right? Like, I just, every time I see him, just the stash and all this stuff, I just see Guy. And what's my last name? I don't have one.
I don't even remember that movie.
I just, like, every time I see him, I'm like, well, there's Guy. He's going to screw something up. Right?
Okay, at some point,
look around you. Do you see anything that could be used to form a rudimentary lathe of some sort? Right? Like, that's him to me.
We need an, oh, that's not right.
Yeah, exactly.
And he has to say it to and about his brother.
Right. Get a room, guys. You could do that. But that's who he reminds me of every time I see him. It's like, oh, God, here's Guy. He's going to screw something up. That's who I see. And I'm kind of fine with that.
But the thing is that now that you're thinking about it, now that you've said it, now that I can't get this out of my head, thank you.
I was going to say, now you won't see anything else now.
But you have to admit that in the grand scheme of things, Guy being Kirk's younger or older brother?
Younger.
Younger brother fits.
Okay, well, here's something else you probably can't get out of your head now. Every time he goes on to an away mission, it gets Fubart. He got blown off to his back when they touched the egg. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
When the Gorn attacked the first time, he was down on the ship with them.
Yeah, he did not react well. Even he admits, I did not react well.
And then now look at him. It's his fault.
It's not his fault.
Every time he goes on away missions, crap happens.
You could say the same thing about Troy driving the ship.
Which is why she don't drive very often.
She's driven it like one time where she did what she was supposed to do.
I'm so happy they let her redeem her character, okay? Because...
Yeah, she did in Picard, right?
Yeah, she drove it and saved everyone in Picard. So, but...
Okay, can we talk about how cool it was to crash the saucer section into the transmitter?
That was cool.
That was kind of cool. You have to admit, that was cool.
Poor Cayuga. I mean, it was, which I think I called the Farragut the other day, which was dumb. But okay. They've killed her ship.
Mm-hmm.
They've penetrated her.
Stop it.
they've put her in stasis. She's going to die.
I know.
She's going to die. I'm just saying. Even Cat Burrell cannot save her at this point.
But it could be fun to watch.
Cute though she may be.
Yes.
She'll come back and have a thing for lizards. Sounds like if she comes back at all.
Or at least green things.
Yeah. I mean, and she's already been infected for a day. So that means they penetrated her first thing.
Yeah.
First thing. Came down, penetrated her,
then
walked off.
Stop saying that word. Stop it.
I'm rolling in my head. How many times can I work it into a sentence?
I'm glad this is our last podcast with you for a while. Come on.
Hey, once again, this could be the reason why you get McCoy. You have to get her to McCoy because he's the only person who knows about.
Oh yeah, he could be a specialist. Yeah, Xeno specialist
anatomy or something like that.
And he's just cranky because he's been hauled across the quadrant.
Why would McCoy?
I'm a doctor, not a Gorn specialist. McCoy was widely regarded as one of the best trauma surgeons in Starfleet. That's why they gave him the Enterprise, because he could meatball surgery and fix anything.
All the people that Kirk killed?
He was No.
Would you say meatball surgery?
Yeah, meatball surgery. It's what they used to refer to in like Korea and Vietnam when they bring them in and they were pieces. they were just shrapneled up in meatball. So you connect the pieces of meatball. Well, he is to surgery what Scotty is to engineering. He is that good. He's a trauma surgeon and he was damn good at his job. And that's why they gave him the Enterprise and probably Kirk's ship, because people kept dying on Kirk's watch because Kirk doesn't care about that. So he got McCoy. They could bring him in any number of things. I don't think they're going to give you Scotty and McCoy in the same thing, actually, I
agree with you. But the question is, does Scotty end up being a recurring show up like they've done with Kirk, or does he end up being, you know, now that his ship is blowed up?
Well, you don't need him as an engineering. You have her.
Well, yes, but you know he's not necessarily a chief engineer, even though
he's junior grade. Yeah, he's a baby. He's just above ensign. I mean, just barely above ensign.
And not only that, but he still flunked her course. So you know that maybe he hasn't proved himself. Well, he hadn't proved himself before. Now that he managed to jerry rig a shuttle to fly past the Gorn, I'm sure he's going to, you know, get a promotion somewhere along the line.
I love
that line.
She said that if you would have done that logic, you would have got an A in my class to Una.
Yeah, Una's just glaring at her like,
shut up.
Well, once again, she flunked her best students.
Well, and I love that individuality is not necessarily, like, they do promote it, but they don't grade it well. You know, like coming up with uncommon solutions to common problems.
So, like, when Kirk was beating Spock's simulation.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a big famous one, though. Yeah.
Actually, that kind of does make some sort of sense if you look at the history of the story of Star Trek, because you've always had that dichotomy between the people back at Starfleet Command who had all the rules and regulations, and then the people who are actually out there realizing that sometimes that rule book needs to go out the window to survive.
Well, and if you look at how they balance that out, the ones at the very tip of the spear are the ones like Pike and Kirk, who Pike doesn't believe that any race is just like, and they had an argument here, they're not monsters, you know, Chris. And he's like, well, sometimes monsters are monsters. No, I'm pretty sure. Like, they make those determinations, right? And then because they go with their gut and they're right most of the time. Kirk was famous for that. Kirk's gut was almost never wrong, right? Pike's gut is, he always gives everyone a second chance, unless you've proven that you can't do that, and then he's just going to
fix it. Well, he ain't going to give the Gorn a second chance because
they hurt his girl. So, but the people who are, like, by the book people are like Cameron from Ferris Bueller, right? Like, they get the science vessels.
He'll keep calling me.
They'll keep calling me. Right, you know, Starfleet Command will just keep calling me.
I was going to say, can you imagine him sitting in the captain's chair with, it's suddenly getting emergency calls going.
He was in the captain's chair.
They'll keep calling me.
Right.
He was in the captain's chair. The guy that played him.
We know.
Exactly.
That's what we're saying. You give him a science vessel, or you give him something up, because they're not the guy you want at the very front.
They're the kiss ass that just wants to follow the rules.
Right. They're very good, and they may be very competent captains, but they're not the tip of the spear.
Well, no, but see, even then, he was only captain of the Enterprise to look good for the actual launch. Press. They were replacing him the moment that was over.
Oh, yeah, you failed.
You're not going to keep this. You know?
He failed.
Right?
You lost the captain.
Yeah, the dynamic ones, the ones that you want in front, are the ones that Picard was a captain that was by the book, right? Picard, in early versions, and I've said this many times, Picard talked about the Prime Directive like it was in the room with them, right? Listening.
And then told it to screw off and went and did what he needed to do.
And then later on in his career, and the older he got, the more he's like, oh, these people are morons, right? Like, name me a good admiral in TNG. There wasn't one. They were all dicks, basically. None of them ever had anything good to say in TNG.
Well, they were all the old armchair people.
Right.
Wait, okay, hang on. Speaking of admirals, at the very beginning of this season, Admiral April, what was his name? He's looking at the chart where he sees the Gorn ships attacking. Do you think the Admiralty knew that what was going to about to happen?
100%.
Oh, yeah.
Schmucks.
They knew what was about to happen because they were planning. They were basically saying this colony is outside our territory.
Don't go in fear.
Yeah.
Let them die.
But at the same time, you know, and I think that's what's going to be the good part, because right now what we're all looking at is Pike's going to lose it and just shoot the shit out of everything.
Yeah, because April's going to tell him not to interfere.
But we know he can't do that. What he has to do is to figure out how to get his people back without starting a war. That's going to be the interesting part. As much as I would love to see the Enterprise versus Gorn space battle, that would just make my day. We're not going to get that he's got to figure out how to not start a war. And if I had to guess, they've already given us the MacGuffin, which is Scotty's going to come up with a device that makes him invisible to Gorn.
See, I think Scotty's going to come up with a device that makes another sun somewhere attract them, sort of like Locust.
Shoot the crap out of them.
Yeah, and then they'll go, like, make them cross the line and then go shoot the crap out
of them.
And
give them reason.
Right, give them a reason.
Or, you know, usually,
they're habitual line steppers.
This is the reason the Klingons in the fleet become friends, because the Klingon comes and helps them.
No, the Klingons are still pissed that Starfleet turned them into boy band.
That's true.
The funny thing is that would actually make some story-wise sense. Because the story-wise sense, I keep going back to the fact that we keep seeing all this stuff with the Gorn and all this knowledge of the Gorn, when you know from TOS that Kirk showed up and went, what's this lizard creature? And no one, not even Spock, on the Enterprise knew what it was. So, think about it this way. Yes, Scotty pulls them off, they ambush the hell out of them, and they are convinced that they have wiped out the Gorn. Therefore, nobody knew there were any Gorn left.
Yeah, and Kirk could have been drunk.
Except the ones in her.
From the penetration.
Oh my God, but if you don't stop.
You set me up for that, though.
Maybe somewhere along the line, the only thing that she can do, she tries to basically sacrifice herself by flying off into the distance in a shuttle, and that's how we actually get the Gorn from. Yeah, that's how we actually get the Gorn from the TOS.
They're stiff jointed.
Yeah, they're stiff jointed because they spent their early life just living in a shuttlecraft.
All right, can we go back to having Cat Brill images with her in the green bodysuit? Oh, not bodysuit, body paint. Yeah, that's where I need to stay at the moment. All right, before I hit you again.
Now, here's my question. You have...
Shannon does have a bit of a one-track mind.
She does.
A problem? No.
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 I enjoy the images that come out of your one-track mind.
Oh, Jake, if you only knew the images on phone.
I used to. But
You used to what? Enjoy my one-track mind?
Yeah, the images that came out of it. So you have...
Hey, you have my cell phone number if you really wanted to share. I mean...
I got you.
You're in the 23rd century. And you can go off and become a colonist on a new world. Why the hell do you pick 20th century Midwest as your theme?
Would you pick 20th century Chicago? No.
No, I wouldn't pick 20th century anything. Give me the most modern building with the best upgrades and the best chance of survival I can possibly get.
Maybe it was their values. Maybe they should have
their values suck.
Maybe they should have the aesthetic and the values in the real, you know, modern day weapons.
Sean, get in the van with me tomorrow and drive through Amish country and have that same conversation with them.
I don't think they make sense either. All right? That makes zero sense to me. Why would you do that? It's sort of like saying, okay. Right?
Disagreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you when I'm going to be driving 10 miles per hour behind a horse and buggy while I'm running late.
Oh.
No, I go around.
I just, no. Just no. Honestly, I
or
think...
Or you just get like a firecracker. The horse will move. I promise you.
Well, maybe. Maybe not. Them horses are trained pretty well, but...
Or either that or they'll kick and somebody will move.
My question is like, do you think... with the way society is headed right now, that we're all just not going to be hooked up to holodecks with VR sets on and everything and just living in a virtual world, for virtual dollars
Wait, they could be in the Matrix. You don't know.
Or they could be living on the ship like Wally. Wow. Yeah, that's what I think. That's how I think it's going to happen in the future. They're all going to be
fat floating in deck chairs.
Yes.
Hey, I'm two-thirds of the way there.
Would you stop kicking me?
No, you deserved it. For all that words you kept saying.
Penetrate. Penetration. They penetrated her arm. Wonder what they used.
I really don't like you.
Wonder, did they go in through the mouth?
I really don't like you.
And then it traveled to the
question.
Arm?
Do they
like a face hugger thing?
Spray them, or what do they do?
Tongue kiss? Their mouth kiss?
How do they do hemorrh?
I don't know.
I don't remember. That's the point.
Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
It was ingested by the spit that they put on his face.
Oh, yeah. They penetrated her through the mouth.
I was going to actually say something worse, but I know we're trying to keep this at least PG-13, so I'm gonna stay away from it.
She is significantly... Ow! Hey, quit it. If you don't stop, I'm going to retaliate. Thank you. See these? Retaliation. She's unplugged her headphones.
Asshole.
Did we lose her?
No. She...
I'm back. That felt good. Still toe boots on his shins. I felt great. Yanked out some armpit hair. It was great.
Ow.
I deserved it. I didn't feel a thing.
You love it. It's a great image that I'm going to recreate.
I'm happy
on EAI.
That this is our last podcast with you for a while.
I'm
so.
Putting it in our logo. It's going to be fantastic.
You better be putting some cat brill and some green body paint.
She's not even in this series.
That's okay. You've talked about it enough, and I deserve it.
You just tried to beat me up. There's no way I'm helping you.
Hey, I wouldn't go against an Orion slave girl in our logo. Now, I know you're in charge of the logo, and I won't argue with you either way, but that being said, I would not argue
Jake,
with an
Jake, you better
Orion
pick
slave.
Some sides here pretty quick.
Everyone always picks your side. What, are you kidding me?
Hell, I even defend Beef when Sean starts to go off on.
Who picks my side?
Everyone! Except for my girl who I put in the logo when we were doing Voices of Defiance.
The purple
Nicole Galicia.
The purple people eater.
Oh, I love her. She was a sweetheart. But I don't think I'd have picked 20th century Midwest as my theme. Definitely not.
You're not into the whole like small town Doc Hollywood living.
God no. I'm not going to have any sympathy that your foot in steel toed boots hurt because you kicked me so hard.
It's worth it.
So says you.
It was worth it.
But
I
would have picked something closer to Mass Effect or Star Wars or anything other than Midwest 20th century. Like, who picks that kitsch? Like, no. No. And if you were going to do something cool, why not,
Victoria. I'm going to agree with you to some extent. I can imagine doing the Midwest 20th century aesthetic, but have some tech.
Yeah, have tech. Don't need a bunch of like farming because Chapel was out there giving vaccinations and they needed farming help and they needed all this stuff. I'm like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Bring tech with you.
Have it look like, you know, 20th century Midwest, but the microwave needs to be the one from the Fifth Element going, chicken.
Right. Good chicken. Right. Bring some replicators if they've been invented. You know, like something to help you.
Yeah. I think it looks great, but it has to have some modernization in it.
Absolutely. You know,
especially
like
the defense. The defense has to be modernized.
Yeah, not just a barber ringing a freaking bell.
Can we not have like a planetary, you know,
defense force? Yeah, the shield, something. Cloaking
device.
That
I will also agree with you, which is if you're going to build a colony outside of Federation protection at all.
Perhaps you should have a shield.
Exactly.
It's weapons, not just a barber ringing a bell.
They truly were Amish.
No kidding. That's like the space version of Amish
We won't take your help.
We don't need weapons. Yeah, you do.
We'll die in peace on our own.
Hey, my favorite is still Honor Harrington with the Space Mormons.
Yeah, that's great. They built the big ship, and then they stole it. Did you steal the ship from the Space Mormons? Yes, we did.
What movie are we talking about?
It's not a movie. It's a book series called Honor Harrington. It's basically Horatio Hornblower in space, except she's a chick. Effectively.
Yeah. And then the Space Mormons is from the other Space Mormons are from the Expanse. That's where they stole the ship.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. I can't believe I just mixed that up. Okay, Beef and yell at me
slipping.
If you listen to this cat.
You're slipping.
Oh, I've slipped. It's I'm all the way down the hill.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, I don't even bother correcting
my
it anymore.
My memory's gone.
Yeah, Jake corrects me all the time. I'm like, oh, thank God, because you know we'd have people writing in going, oh, Sean's an idiot. It's like we already know that. It's not.
Well,
like,
hey,
that's not
it's actually kind of funny because now that I'm on most of these podcasts, rather than standing there listening to my phone screaming, that's not the right Space Mormons, I just correct it.
Yeah. I know. Like, I've had those emails where people are, like, screaming at you, that's not what it is. It's like, yeah, okay. It's fine. But they didn't give us Captain Angel.
Or even Anson Mount. His name is Anson Mount.
Yeah,
we're gonna just drive ourselves nuts on this one.
Yeah, but it's
see the space.
Yes,
Cat Burrell in green paint.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. So somebody do Cat Burrell in green Orion slave paint for or slave girl paint for preferably a slave girl outfit for Shannon. It'll be great.
Really, all she needs is the app, and she can literally type those words in. She'll get the output she wants.
I know.
What app?
There's an AI app where you can just tell it to make images for you. I'm not even kidding. You're looking at me like I'm insane. That's a thing. It's a thing.
Actually, I'm not sure you should give that to her. That could be dangerous. She could break that in the same way that you broke the AI
chat. I know.
In the same way what?
When they were originally developing the AI that everybody's using now, I was part of the user test group. And I would consistently break it until they kicked me out of the program. Because I'd ask it to do things that were impossible or that were morally
impossible
reprehensible.
Impossible or improper?
Yes, all of those things.
That I believe. Okay.
Morally reprehensible, impossible, improper, all that stuff. And finally, I must have been like throwing so many errors to them because it would literally break every time I would think about like, what can I do? Because I'm a developer, I know how to do this. Like, what can I do to bottom out the curve on this? And they finally sent me a nice letter saying that I had been kicked off the app because of the logic problems that I was giving it and the improper responses. And it would just sit there and burn so many cycles of query that it was costing them money because the AI could not figure out the impossible things I was giving it to do.
Because you were trying to watch some kind of sex positions with it, huh?
Oh, no, those are easy. Well, those are to give you all
not,
the time.
Well, no, what he was doing was giving it logic bombs that just couldn't compute.
It could not do, right? Like, it's an impossibility, and it didn't know it was impossible. So it would just sit there and try and figure it out. So it was kicked me off.
Whereas the AI would be asking with Shannon with the pictures would be going, she wants to. Oh no, 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 no.
That's
no.
Illegal in your state, madam.
Somebody send me this app.
Oh, there's a bunch of AI apps. You can get one anyway. Just type in AI image app into your phone and you can go get one. I can't do that because they're blocked from three or four of them. But you can probably do
that. I have several pictures to pick from.
I have to be very careful.
I have several images to pick from, yes. This is going to be a great night.
But I appreciate what they did in season two. I think from episode 5, 6, 7, and 8 are some of the best Trek you're going to get. Is really good. I also would add episode 3 of this season to that, but I know a lot of people are not there with me. I would say half of this season is just excellent, excellent
Actually,
Trek.
I think the whole season is excellent Trek. I think everybody's heard me say it before.
You're
going to
say
episode
9 is excellent Trek.
No. Okay. No, but see, I'll put episode 9 in the same list as that I put the Robin Hood episode of TNG.
I love that one.
I'm not a merry man.
I am not a merry man. That had some great quotes. Sir, I protest. I am not a merry man.
He always gets the good
but
lines.
But my point is that episode is okay when it's not one of 10. If it's one of 22, I don't hate it as much.
I can see that.
Well, I'd agree, but I'd go a step further and say don't do any more musicals.
Oh,
I would agree with you.
I was not happy about that.
I'm definitely saying
don't
do it.
But once again, I think what we need is more episodes.
Absolutely. Just no more High School Musical in space. I was not happy. I was just not happy about that.
Hey, my kid was in High School Musical. I was forced to watch it, and I suddenly at the end of it looked around and went, that was a ripoff of Grease, damn it.
Did you or did you not fall asleep?
Not while my kid was on stage.
That's not what I asked.
Yes, but it's a valid answer. It's a valid answer.
That was not what I asked, sir.
When Michaela started doing choir, we would all go to her concerts, right? Until we realized that when I zoomed in, I'm recording her because I'm the proud mom. She her lips aren't even moving.
Singing.
I'm like, see, you're not even singing. She goes, but it looked good. I'm like...
No, it didn't.
That, see, now that I'm actually, not going to feel
that,
bad
I,
at all.
I can, worst part is I can hear her saying that. But I look good.
I'm not even going to feel bad anymore whenever. After that, I didn't feel bad when I would just not pay attention to the choir. But.
But I look good.
She's going to have to look good and not be able to fake it in volleyball.
Actually, she likes doing that, though.
Yeah.
She likes volleyball. But that, and you can tell if she's playing or not.
Yeah, if she gets hit in the face with the ball, she wasn't playing.
All the things she's complained about this week is her thighs are hurting.
Well, they made her run lines on the football field today.
Who?
50-yard line to the 20, or 50-yard line to the baseline, to the touchdown, or to the end zone, then out to the 10-yard line, then back to the end zone, then out to the 20-yard line and back to the end zone.
That's referred to as suicides.
Yep, that's exactly what she called them.
But they did it in the morning.
They did that to us in basketball. They call it running lines. So we would do baseline to free throw, back to baseline, back to 3-point, back to baseline to half court, and then we, you know, and
that's like a whole version of Mother May I.
Actually, the one that I used to just loathe was the entire team would line up and run, and whoever was at the back of the line had to sprint to the front of the line.
Oh,
and yet, you just spend an hour running around the outer edge of the field doing that. It's
and there's
just
that
miserable.
And there's always that dick who wants to like suck up to the coach and runs fast. Where like most people agree, like, all right, if you're at the front, just slow it down. Just slow it down. Right.
Slow down so we can all be.
So we can all be slow, right? And then the guy at the back comes to the front, and then he slows it down a little bit.
And he gets to rest.
And then he gets to rest, right? So you do that, and there's always that guy who just takes off, right? Just gone, and you're like, crap! Now you got to catch him.
Yep.
And then later on, you catch him in the locker room, beat the whole crap out of him, be like, if you ever do that again.
I think she'll enjoy it. I didn't like pushing towels. I don't know if that was ever a thing for y'all, but whenever we would lose
we
a game.
Oh, no.
It was our punishment. So we would have to, you know, those little small.
Face towels?
Dish towels. It wasn't a hand. It was the face towel. I mean, it was the size
of. Oh, sweat towels. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
We'd have to fold those and start at the baseline.
And push them around.
And go from one end of the gym to the other and back. For however many points away we were divided between us and whoever they won on.
Well,
so,
all the coaches in my high school worked under the theory of if you weren't going to win by talent, you were going to be the only team still running at the end of the game.
Yeah,
so there's plenty of Michaela to learn.
Our coach ran us till made us do bleachers until we threw up.
I hated bleachers. Anyways. She's going to learn.
I'll throw in one last one because I went to one of those really snotty private high schools, so most of our kids' parents were doctors and lawyers. So the kids' parents who were also orthopedic surgeons literally started to complain at the coaches.
For making you do the calisthenics.
Yes.
That's funny.
She'll learn.
Yeah, she'll learn. She'll learn.
It's a rite of passage. She should.
And when I'm out there recording her playing volleyball...
And when she wants to go, Dad, I'm tired. I want to quit. No.
You're not allowed.
No, you're not quitting. You made a commitment to your team. Let's go.
And she has to join. She has to. By joining athletics, she has to, too. So she's probably either track or basketball. I think track.
Oh, she'll pick track.
She'll pick track.
She's fast and she's tall, so she'll pick track. If she's smart, she'll pick track. I hate basketball. I've seen that girl shoot a basketball, and she cannot dribble. So she's in for a world of education if she picks basketball. Anyway, we will be gone for an undetermined amount of time. We don't know when season 3 is going to come. They've already redone Picard. Or you guys have done a look yep. back on Picard. So I don't think there's any Trek in the foreseeable pipeline, except for maybe Lower Decks. And you hate Lower Decks.
I haven't.
There really
I hate
is
Lower
no.
Decks. I've only watched a couple episodes, unless there's they do Legacy.
There no well even then you're not going to do that anytime soon because you have no
writers.
No
writer strike. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing in the pipeline.
Well then I'll just stick with my Warehouse 13 one.
Yeah, Artie's Attic.
You're going to have to stick with reruns of something because there isn't going to be anything new in the pipeline for a while.
Which is why this is a perfect time for Artie's Attic to debut, because everybody's going to be in reruns anyway. Why not rerun a great show? So you can check that out on the Lone Wolf Network. It's called Artie's Attic. They review Warehouse 13.
Yeah.
And it is you,
three so far.
Carolyn, and Stargate Pioneer, who is a super trooper for staying with that one. Which has he ever seen that show, or is this his first time rolling
He's
through?
He's watched it.
Has he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured he did. I figured he had, but I don't.
I mean, not as many
about.
Times as me.
Nobody's watched it as many times as you.
I may have to go back through that one.
It was actually a really good show. I don't like how they ended it.
Oh, I've told them many times. I love seasons fact, 1 through 4, but when we get to season 5, you're going to have a big
That was season. One of the reasons Shannon quit watching sci-fi is for... She were mad at them for a long time after Warehouse 13.
Because
ended.
They canceled in the way they did it of Warehouse 13, and because they took so long to renew in the way they canceled Defiance, is I got so pissed off at them that I quit watching the Dive-Fi channel altogether, which is what caused me to
miss most of Wynonna Earp.
Wynonna Earp. Yeah. The first rounds it went through. I came in to Wynonna at the second half of the fourth season.
Yeah.
But you have to admit that the Sci-Fi channel is becoming to sci-fi what MTV is to music.
Yes.
100%. And it still sucks. That is an apt analogy as well.
And it sucks. The Dive-Fi channel.
But Artie's Attic? You guys can check it out. It is available on almost any of your streaming services or distribution methods. But that's going to be it, because I don't think we have any Star Trek right now to review. So this will be the last time you see this cast for a little bit, which is good because Shannon's getting awful punchy.
You deserve it. I don't feel bad.
Look, literally.
I'm just talking about the penetration. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my God. You know what?
Get
off the podcast.
I'm actually starting to agree with her.
Get off the podcast. You know,
but
glad.
I know, like, it's a button, and you say, don't
I'm
push
glad.
The button, and I see the button.
I'm
and
glad
you gotta
that
hit
I have Carolyn and Starfly. I'm just saying. Jake, I love you lots, and you should come over sometime and guest, but not you. Not you at all. Just, you know. Ever.
I agree. Not you.
Not you.
So.
I agree with you, too. Not you.
Not you. So there's a wealth of casts that are coming that we're doing for our network. There's a bunch of stuff that you can review out there, but you're going to, I think once everybody gets past, and this is not just Paramount, this is almost everybody. Once you get past this kind of current crop of stuff, everybody's going to be into reruns. So find a podcast, find a show maybe you haven't watched in a while, find a show you haven't watched at all and check it out. There's going to be a lot there's going to be a dearth of new content here very shortly.
The other day somebody was talking to me about Dark Angel. Remember that one?
Oh my God.
And Witchblade.
Okay. Witchblade was my jam. I loved that show. In fact, I have Witchblade right there.
Yeah.
It's a poster that Beef gave me.
I didn't like the show because they didn't actually have her full Witchbladed out like your poster looks.
No, they didn't. It was a version of Witchblade, but I'm okay with that. But like the Girls of Top Cow, which is the comic book, I'm not. For those of you who don't know, Witchblade was a production of Top Cow Comics. They did Evangeline, they did Witchblade, and they did Evo. Which was the Girls of Top Cow, which is the poster I have. It is phenomenal. Beef sent me a signed copy of it. And Witchblade was a fantastic show. It's too bad the main chick was a fall-down mean drunk.
In real life, yeah.
In real life, and they canceled the show because of that, because it would have been huge. It was a fantastic show at the right time with the right audience.
Yeah.
And
Witchblade
it was just too bad.
And Dark Angel and Continuum, I think all those shows are worth going back and looking at again. Carolyn's going to agree with me. She's like, hey. I think Continuum was really dope. Dark Matter, although it ended on a cliffhanger that you'll never have, you know.
Yeah, Dark Matter was really good. I really liked what they were doing with that one.
I would even go as far as suggesting you rewatch of Stargate.
Original?
Anyway, you have 15 seasons of Stargate.
I have tried that before. I will admit that especially the first couple of seasons of Stargate are a bit dated and don't hold up as well as you would hope.
I normally start around season 8.
It's a rough place to start. Well,
but Claudia Black and Ben Browder come into it.
Let's make baby. Anytime you do,
she's
Claudia.
Amazing. Right, but then you also have them going into Stargate Atlantis.
If you're gonna do Claudia Black, just do Farscape.
There's another one. See, there's lots of shows out there that need some podcast love.
Oh, I mean, hey, we could go all the way back and do Buck Rogers.
Itty bitty bitty.
Look, I have and have had a thing.
Aaron Gray.
For Aaron Gray.
Yes, we are aware.
But I can't watch the show.
You can't talk to her either. At least I was brave enough to talk to Jamie.
My problem with that is the fact that Gil Gerard is wearing the same outfit as Aaron Gray.
That is true. His chest hair is poking out. It's terrible. He did everything but had a gold chain, you know? It was pretty
cool. So we can always go back and talk about the new Battlestar Galactica.
Well, actually, I was going to say, you could go back to watch the original Battlestar Galactica and enjoy the cheesy campiness.
No, if you
want to be depressed, you can go watch the newer version of Battlestar Galactica.
I will never watch that show again. I had my fill of it. I've seen every episode quite a lot. I've broken down every episode. That is the one show I can tell you I will not rewatch.
Piss off the actresses?
Only Tricia Helfer. Although she's mad now because they're remaking another one, or well, they were. I don't know if they're still doing it, but they were entertaining remaking another one, and they weren't going to use her, and she was mad, and she's like, "I don't understand why you weren't going to. Why? Like, I'm right here. Like, why wouldn't you redo?"
Were you going to use Katie Sackhoff?
No, they weren't going to use any of the actors from the reboot. And she's like, "Look, but I'm here. I'm doing this podcast," and she was kind of bringing forth the whole thing, and they're like, "Yeah, but we already did that. We don't want to do it again."
But you also don't need them because the way they've set that up is that it's a constant,
it's a cycle,
you know, cycle.
Like Caprica.
You have human beings who start up on a planet, they spread out from the planet, they develop robots, there's a war, then they have to flee, and it all starts over again.
Another one be good is Eureka.
God, that was such a good show.
They
don't do campy sci-fi like that anymore. I really liked Eureka.
You had
Colin
Warehouse 13,
amazing.
You had Eureka.
Okay, now, but you have to admit that humor would not hold up today.
Oh, you couldn't do it today because you'd get roasted. You'd get canceled in the first
episode.
Too many
people are sensitive.
Yeah, they're way too feeling, you know, they're all up in their feelings with it. You couldn't do that today.
I can't stand it. Just shut up.
I mean, though for life of me, I cannot remember the name right now, and I'm sure someone's screaming at the phone at me now, but the main male character from Warehouse 13, he'd have been Me Too'd in a heartbeat. Just the character, not the actor. Yeah.
Pete?
Yeah.
Yes, Pete as a character would have been Me Too'd just for always hitting on, what's her name?
Yep.
Micah.
He didn't hit on Micah. That was like his sister.
Until the end, when they ruined it.
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. The manner in which he treated his female co-stars would have been just awful.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
No, the manner in which his character, not him. Eddie McClintock is great friends with all of them on there.
Yeah.
So Eddie McClintock is a very lovable person. He is so energetic.
Every panel I've ever seen with him, like, he is such a nice guy.
I've seen him a couple of times in panels.
Well, you've seen him in person.
I've met him in person.
I've seen him on YouTube.
He will get down off of the stage and run out into the crowd and hug people. I mean, John Barrowman does the same kind of... He has the same kind of energy as John Barrowman.
John Barrowman
actually,
is
I was about to
legend.
Say, is the, if you want to run into somebody at a con who is just... downright lovely human being to run into, see at a con, see at a panel, see at a signing. It is just going to be, you know, livening up the crowd in the room. It's John Barrowman.
Yeah, if you want to feel better about being a human being, go watch John Barrowman do anything. in real life. He is the most energetic, most caring, most friendly person on the planet.
Imagine
as soon
those
as he enters
two together
a
at a con.
As soon as he enters a con. It is a thing to behold. Whether you particularly like that energetic style or not, you cannot watch it without smiling and being happy.
Well, that's the same thing with Eddie McClintock. He's such a great
He does a good panel. He really does. But John Barrowman is just a force of nature. And if you don't know what we're talking about, go look him up.
Torchwood.
Yeah, he does a fantastic, like, the character
actually,
is not
that's
him.
Actually what, that you just decided what my rewatch is. I have to go back through Torchwood.
Torchwood. Look, I am not.
I can't do Children of Earth.
No, I can't do that one anymore. People are going to hate me because, oh, you're not really a sci-fi fan. I don't like Doctor Who. I don't. I can't get into
Who
it.
Who says you're not a sci-fi fan?
No.
If people say that you're not a true sci-fi, I cannot get into it. I've watched half a season of Doctor Who, and I'm like...
Well, you don't normally take off on the really campy ones either. Okay, and that's British campy, which is not your strong suit.
I love Torchwood. Torchwood is great. Except
but Torchwood's not camp. Torchwood
except
is...
Except for that episode.
Yeah, really serious. Yeah, Children are... I can't do Children of Earth.
No.
I can't do it.
They ruined it for me.
I cannot do that. That is one thing I cannot
now,
do.
Now, that as dark as that is, and it is dark... The one that actually ruined Torchwood for me was Miracle Day, because they suddenly went to the United States and the United States has no clue that aliens exist. In this world, aliens have tried to take over London every Christmas for the past 100 or so years.
And you didn't get the memo.
Exactly.
There are two or three big things. Children of Earth is one in Torchwood. The other one is, surprisingly enough, Futurama Jurassic Bark. The episode Jurassic Bark where his dog was frozen in time.
I think I've missed that one.
You should look it up online.
No, I'm going to go find it.
The episode ends and the dog waits by the pizza place every day and grows old every day waiting for Fry to come back even though he's never
gonna
come back.
That's almost as bad as the kid in the ice at the end of AI.
And it's worse. It's so much worse.
Sounds like I missed the good things.
It hurt my soul for weeks. I couldn't watch Futurama. It is the most heartstring episode I've ever seen, and it hurts. Other than Children of Earth. Like Children of Earth after you have kids is painful to watch. Like, you can't do it.
Like, the first season episode of Strange World.
There are so many things, like, for the ending with the part with the Prime Minister or whoever it is that, you know, with his family. Then you've got what John Barrowman's character does. No.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough to watch. I really can't get there from here, but... There are ones I can watch, but that's not one of them.
Well,
the government official that's following, I think he shot the wrong people.
To leave this on a lighter note.
Please.
Because it's going to hurt our daughter's soul if I don't go feed her. It's dinner time. I did that beforehand, and that's why I was late.
I was waiting for DoorDash to show up.
I know. I'm sure she's starving and going through all the stuff in the pantry more than once. So I'm going to call this goodbye.
Okay, wait a minute. Uh-oh. Just to make sure that we both have the same kids. You're going through the whole pantry full of nothing to eat?
She'll say that, but she'll find something. She goes in and she grabs the whole bag, not just a bowl. She used to do a bowl. But now she takes the whole bag of chips to her room, and she'll come back with, like, crumbs.
Mine's the pantry that is full of nothing to eat.
Oh, yeah, she gets that, too. But she'll find something.
That's just being a teenager. That's all that is.
She'll go in there. She'll make cheese, mozzarella sticks or chips. She eats tons of crap. It's just
not
enough for her.
She can do that.
Well, we hope to see you again. We hope to have fresh Trek to talk about with Strange New Worlds. We hope that will come in some kind of good time, although I am highly skeptical. And we hope we get more of this series because it is some of the best Trek I've ever seen. So Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for
putting up with him.
For all the excellent email.
Don't you say it.
Thank you for all the excellent email that you guys have sent to us, and we appreciate you guys downloading.
Jake, you know he was going to say it, don't you?
What? Penetration?
Yes.
Ooh, we had one more.
Damn it, Jake.
See, that's my boy right there. I didn't say it. See, I didn't do it. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being with us. And I normally would say we'll see you next time, but I don't know if there's going to even be a next time.
You remind me of like the voiceover at the Omni Theater.
Very cultured and beautiful man that voice is.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, that's totally what it is. Sexy, even. With a tone
now showing.
Of intent, you know, just intelligent. Yeah, no, it's totally what it is.
Reminds me of the voice of Movie Phone. You remember Movie Phone?
Welcome to Movie Phone.
Wow, that brought back some memories.
Nobody alive listening to this cast remembers Movie Phone. Yeah, no. Why don't you just tell me the name of the movie you want to see? No, that's a Seinfeld episode.
What, you couldn't just type it into your phone to see when it was?
You couldn't back then.
Unless T9 was recognized by Movie Phone. No, that's not something we... But I normally tell you guys, like I said, that we'd see you next time. I don't know if there's going to be a next time. So
There will be. It'll be a long time. There is.
The question is when will next time be?
Will we still be doing this cast after this episode? So we will talk to you guys.
Will Sean still have shins?
Yeah. The answer is no.
No.
So we will talk to you guys when we talk to you. We'll see you when you see you. And we have enjoyed these two seasons of Trek.
This has been an episode of the Strange New Worlds Fancast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us. If you'd like to hear more shows like this one, you can find us at strangenewworlds.podbean.com for more podcasts on Strange New Worlds. If you'd like to contact us, you can hit us up via email at strangenewworldsfancast@gmail.com or on Twitter at @Trek_worlds. We are a part of the Lone Wolf Podcast Network. And to hear more of this cast and other casts like it, you can check us out at lonewolfpodcasts.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.